Thank you, our Father, that your word is a lamp to our path, and we pray that so it would prove this morning. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, around the world today, Christians are suffering because they follow Jesus. In North Korea, those whose allegiance to Christ becomes known are taken to labor camps or worse. Or even just this morning, I received a report on recent events in Nigeria. During the first week, the first 7 days of July 2018 alone, in only two states, Adamawa and Taraba, 120 Christians have been killed. In 2018 so far, these 6 or so months, there's been recorded 1,870 violent deaths of Christians in the land of Nigeria. And sadly, those kind of reports are far from exceptional. Christians face around the world all sorts of hardships. Imprisoned, they lose their lives because they recognize Jesus as Lord. Now, I wonder how you respond to hearing things like that. It is shocking, and it should move us to pray, to support as we can. And yet there's a part of our shock which maybe is because we haven't really paid attention to what Jesus always said would come the way of his followers. So let's listen to him now in Matthew chapter 10. Our second installment in this chapter, page 983. Matthew chapter 10, we looked at the first 15 verses last week, so we'll pick it up at verse 16. Jesus says, "Behold, I'm sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. So be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. Beware of men, for they will deliver you over to courts and flog you in their synagogues. And you will be dragged before governors and kings for my sake, to bear witness before them and the Gentiles. When they deliver you over, do not be anxious how you are to speak or what you are to say, for what you are to say will be given to you in that hour. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Brother will deliver brother over to death, and the father his child, and children will rise against parents and have them put to death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. When they persecute you in one town, flee to the next, for truly I say to you, you will not have gone through all the towns of Israel before the Son of Man comes. A disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for the disciple to be like his teacher, and the servant like his master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebul, how much more will they malign those of his household?" So Jesus is training his disciples for mission. Do you remember we heard that last week? And do you remember where the scene was set? Back at the end of chapter 9 and verse 35. "Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every disease and every affliction. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd." So do you remember Jesus the King? We've been persuaded of that in Matthew's gospel by now. And here he is, proclaiming the good news far and wide. And as he goes, he sees the crowds, and he says they are like sheep without a shepherd. He has great compassion for them. But we've been thinking, haven't we, how does this compassion show itself in practice? And last week we saw it led Jesus, the king, to send out 12, initially to that house of Israel. And they went with the message of peace and a warning of judgment. But there's more to say, as we've just heard read. And I wonder, were you listening? I don't mean to be rude. The thing is, were you stunned by what you heard? Could you think, did Jesus really say those things to his own people? Because I'm sure those first disciples would have been amazed to hear Jesus say these words. So let's listen in a little closer and think about what he was saying. Notice again how he begins, verse 16. "Behold, I am sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves, so be wise as serpents and innocent as doves." I wonder, did you realize what Jesus was saying there? Do you remember the crowd were like sheep without a shepherd? Jesus, the king, is clearly the shepherd that they need, that he is presenting himself as that. But then the question is, what kind of shepherd is it that sends out sheep in the midst of wolves? If we had not just had this read and you knew who had said it in verse 16, what would you have thought? A shepherd who sends out sheep in the midst of wolves. Well, what kind of shepherd is that? Well, that's what Jesus says he is doing with his disciples. Not what they were expecting, and no doubt not we either. So why would Jesus do that? Well, we'll have to keep listening. But if that is the way, he does give them an indication here of how they are to go in the midst of the wolves. First of all, like serpents. Serpents are shrewd, they are prudent, they look ahead for danger, and they keep out of trouble whenever possible. And so therefore Jesus says, be like that. Although actually being wise like a serpent by itself is not that difficult. You keep your head down, you stay quiet. But Jesus says, don't be like that. Christians can be very good at that. He says, you must go out in the midst of people, be like the serpent, but combine it with the innocence of doves. So as the disciples speak out, there's to be that openness to them. They are to share their lives. They are to be transparently good and pure before others, even though they are wary and wise in other ways. So, disciples, says Jesus, be sheep, serpents, and doves all at the same time. And if they do that right, well, where will it lead? Verse 17. Beware of men, for they will deliver you over to courts and flog you in the synagogues, and you will be dragged before governors and kings for my sake to bear witness before them and the Gentiles. Now, isn't that striking? First of all, beware. Beware of who? You're expecting someone specific, or at least a particular group of people. No, Jesus says, of men, of people. This treatment could come really from anywhere, even from where it might surprise you. And then as you go on, Jesus says, if you do what I say right, if you get it, if you do this according to my instructions, you'll end up in court. Now again, isn't that surprising? Normally you think, if you get it wrong, if you cross the line, if you break the rules, you end up in court. But Jesus is saying, no, do it my way, that's where you will end up. People will take exception to what you say and what you do. They will hand you over to the authorities. And look where it will lead. Easy to read, but just think for a brief moment. They'll be flogged publicly and painfully. And then we read on, it's not just before Jewish synagogues. Remember last week, the disciples' mission was first to the house of Israel. But it's clear now, Jesus is beginning to look beyond that, to the future, ahead of that. And notice now, the message is to go to the Gentiles as well, to all the nations. But in a sense, the result will be the same. The disciples will end up in hot water, dragged before the governors and the kings. I'm sure the disciples would be asking, why this? Why should this be their expectation? Look at two key phrases there in verse 18. First of all, for my sake. It will be because of Jesus. This is because of allegiance to him. And this is where it leads. But you might say, well, how can it be for Jesus' sake? Because at this point, he won't be there. He'll be gone. He'll have left. Well, that brings us to the second key phrase in verse 18, which is to bear witness. And that, in this passage, tells us what it is they are to do. We saw it all through last week. But again, that's the theme. It's to bear witness. He is sending his people out as sheep to speak up. And of course, that's for positive reasons. He wants the world to hear. This is good news, and people should accept it with open arms, a free offer from Jesus. But so that the disciples are under no illusions, it'll be like sheep going in the midst of wolves. Jesus is preparing the way for what he knows the response will be. So the disciples know that, wondering, well, what will that look like, Jesus, in practice to face these hostilities and these authorities? He goes on, verse 19. When they deliver you over, do not be anxious how you are to speak or what you are to say. For what you are to say will be given to you in that hour. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Now think carefully about these verses. Again, they are very striking. Jesus says, you're going to be hauled off, you're going to be flogged, you're going to be before the authorities. What would you expect the compassionate shepherd to say next? Maybe something like, but don't worry, I will come in and get you out. Don't worry, I'll send in reinforcements. Don't worry, you'll be safe. Notice everything he says then is all about their speaking, which underlines yet again that is the point of them being there, that they would speak about Jesus. So what matters is not so much at this point that they are taken out of that situation, but that they keep on speaking about Jesus. That's what they're going to be worried about. So notice that's the promise Jesus gives. He is saying when you are under the greatest pressure to stop doing what the whole purpose of this is, I will give you help to keep on doing that. I mean, these verses are wonderfully Trinitarian. Did you notice that? Jesus does send his sheep out in the hostile world, but they are not alone. In fact, even after Jesus is returned to heaven, he is still with them, with us, by his Spirit. And notice then, the pressure is on God the Father then. Verse 20, will help his people stay faithful to Jesus. And of course, that principle still holds. What an assurance today when we are worried about those situations where we know it'll be so hard to stay faithful. God will be there helping us and with us. We read on, and Jesus wants them and us to know the opposition may come very close to home. We've reached verse 21. Jesus says, brother will deliver brother over to death, and the father his child, and children will rise against parents and have them put to death, and you will be hated by all for my name's sake. Well, the Glynn family, the four of us, we were up in Coedpoeth near Wrexham yesterday afternoon at the wedding of Dan and Seanad. It was a wonderful occasion in so many ways, and a particular highlight was seeing the families come together. Both Dan's and Seanad's family are clearly very strong and very close, and that is a blessing from the Lord. And Jesus would underline that. He speaks throughout the scriptures and in what he says of the need to honour parents, far more than our society normally does. Jesus would emphasize these relationships God has given us, and we are to treat each other rightly. And yet, Jesus says here that the news about him, as it is spoken, can even turn the closest of family members against each other, even to death. Now, the disciples maybe would have thought, Jesus, hang on, surely this is an exaggeration. This is over the top. But history has very much proved Jesus right. Once someone in a family hears the good news about Jesus and turns to him, often thinks, this is great news. This is great news for my family. While the family thinks otherwise. Some of us may have experienced this, strained relationships, difficulties, just that awkwardness in all sorts of ways. But then again, around the world, down the years, people in families, when that has happened, have had to flee for their lives. And then worse has happened. Jesus' followers will even, he says, verse 22, be hated by all. And of course, this isn't simply some kind of complex from Jesus. It's actually thinking very clearly. Because Jesus has taught us, hasn't he, in Matthew's Gospel, the world is in rebellion against its creator. And so if we turn to Jesus as king, the world will express its opposition to God against us. It could come from neighbours or friends or colleagues or even family members. And again, you say, why? Why this hatred from everyone? Well, notice verse 22, Jesus again says, for my name's sake. He is telling us that's what it means to turn to him as king. He comes first. Well, I hope you're thinking what I think the disciples were probably thinking as they heard this. Why would we risk what we hold so dear in life? Why would we follow a Jesus like that today? Well, let's keep listening. And look at what he says at the end of verse 22. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. Now, we're saying some hearing this would respond that it simply doesn't make sense. If Jesus has said that people could be delivered over, flogged, put to death, well, how can he now say they'll be saved? You can't have it both ways, Jesus. Be killed and be saved. But of course, those who've been listening to Jesus up to this point will know what he means. The greatest danger that we or anyone will face is not these kind of broken relationships, this kind of suffering or death. Our greatest need is forgiveness. That's why Jesus came, to save his people from their sins, to be rescued from the judgment of God, and instead to receive eternal life. And Jesus came so that all of that could be ours in him, because of his life, death, and resurrection. So that even if we lose out in the world's eyes in these ways, we will know we have a certain hope of a glorious future with so much more. And if we've realized that is what counts and that is what matters, well, what reassuring word, a promise from Jesus, the one who endures to the end will be saved. And so, verse 23. When they persecute you in one town, flee to the next. For truly I say to you, you will not have gone through all the towns of Israel before the Son of Man comes. Again, we might have expected, if persecution comes, no, says Jesus, when it comes, it'll come. We've seen that all through the passage. And when that opposition arises, the disciples should keep going. Not necessarily in the same place, but there'll be more people who need to hear the message of the kingdom. Let's look at Jesus' summary verses 24 and 25. A disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for the disciple to be like his teacher and the servant like his master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebul, how much more will they malign those of his household? Well, do you remember, we first saw last week that Jesus spoke to his disciples about their initial mission to Israel. And it's clear this week that Jesus is now looking beyond that, the spread of the gospel to all nations, again, initially through these disciples. But what we've just heard from Jesus underlines for us that actually Matthew is recording these words for all future disciples, for any disciple who are also to be Jesus' witnesses. So in all this, Jesus is setting our expectations. And in particular, he is saying, all this does sound shocking, but think. What he is asking of us is to follow him. And if we are his followers, we should expect to be treated as he was. We've seen that actually in Matthew's gospel. Remember back in chapter 9, Jesus went around doing these astonishingly good acts, saving people, even raising the dead. How did the Pharisees respond? They said he casts out demons by the prince of demons. And so here in verse 25, Jesus says, if they call the master of the house Beelzebul, that is the devil, well, how much more will they malign us, those of his household? And with that, that's tipped us off. We can see more of the way that Jesus sets the pattern. So do you remember, on earth, Jesus' own family didn't understand or appreciate what he was doing when he spoke. We read on, Jesus rejected by many, including his very own people. Jesus then is delivered over to the authorities, to the courts. Although he speaks, he is given what to say. Still, Jesus was flogged and then put to death. So it makes sense that all these things Jesus has said, his followers should expect to be treated likewise. But of course, the point is, keep looking to Jesus. Jesus endured, didn't he, faithfully right to the end. And he was saved. In the sense that he was raised from the dead, given new life, established as king over all in heaven and on earth. And so for us, we will follow the way of our master. There will be moments, maybe even a lifetime of endurance as we face trials and loss now. But we know, because we have Jesus' word for it, of where it will lead to life with him in his kingdom forever. Let's pray as we close. Father, we do praise you again that the message of Jesus is good news, that we can be saved because we serve a king who died for sin and rose again to bring new life. And so would we, as his followers, be witnesses of these things to those around us. Would our allegiance to Christ, even when it is costly, demonstrate the value of knowing Jesus as king? And thank you that we are safe with him. And we pray that this witness would bear fruit, that others around us would hear about Jesus, trust him, and so share in this salvation and life that he gives. In his name we pray. Amen.